Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory to God. We're going to get out of Gideon. Is that okay? Out of Judges, we're talking about Gideon. And Gideon has, Gideon started out in threshing and frustrated. How do you know he was frustrated? He was, haven't seen the miracles of God. Had just heard a prophet earlier that had said, you know, that God had called Israel and separated them from Egypt, and now they're being attacked by these Midianites, and Gideon is threshing wheat behind the wine press, and I believe he's just as the angel said, yeah, you're a mighty man of valor. Frustrated. Like I've said before, that frustration will give you motivation to take you to a revelation if you'll allow it to. And that revelation will take you to a destination. God was actually making Gideon a judge in Israel. He was preparing him to do a work for him in Israel. And so whenever God's preparing you to do something, there's going to be things going on in your life. Sometimes frustration might be getting taken hold of you. But that when that frustration comes to you, folks, that's the time when it's time, hey, you know what? I need to go to God. That frustration should be a motivation to get you into the presence of God, because God is trying to say something to you. I believe today's a day that God is speaking to His people more and more. If you'll be listening, you'll hear Him on a daily basis. If you're listening, He is there to speak to you continually and build you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. Tells Gideon, you're gonna smite the Midianites. The angel appears to Gideon, and Gideon sees what he gets is a revelation from God. He gets a vision. He sees a vision. There's an angel sitting on the oak, and the angel calls him, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. And he goes, yeah, well, where's the miracles? Where's the miracles? Folks, where's the miracles? God is a God of miracles. How many know that? He's a God of miracles, and He does things. And Gideon, where's the miracles? And the angel tells him, that strength right there, that question right there, that thing that you're asking, he says, with that, you're going to smite the Midian, says one man. Pretty cool. Gideon goes, who, me? Wait a minute. You know, didn't realize he was stepping into a revelation. God was bringing something to show him. And he, who, me? Yeah, you, man. He goes, no, but I'm the least in Manasseh, my tribe. We're the least. And I'm the least in my house. I'm the youngest. God says, I'm going to take you there. You're going to win. You're going to smite the Midianites. Mm-mm, come on. You're going to take a hold of them. So Midian, like we said, Gideon tells them, hey, he goes, you know what? Just stay right here. Don't leave. I want you to stay right here. I'm going to go bring you a present. So he goes and he takes a little chunk of meat, gets a couple of cakes of unleavened flour, and he takes it to the angel and he sets it on the rock. And like we said, the fire that came to consume this sacrifice, while the angel touched the sacrifice with his staff, the Bible doesn't say that fire fell from heaven. The Word of God says that fire rose up out of the rock and consume the sacrifice. And I love that. Such a beautiful picture of Jesus and how the fire rises up out of the rock. How you know, he said it last couple of weeks. The fire comes out of the rock. If you go out and tell somebody that in Safeway, it's not going to go over very big. Is it? They're going, what are you talking about? Fire comes out. But this is the truth. The fire came out of the rock, consumed the sacrifice. And when Gideon saw that, he looks at the angel and poof, gone. I love it. God's got a way of taking off on you, it seems like. poof, he's gone. And then Gideon realizes, you know what? I saw the face of God. And he gets scared. He's been taught that no man could see the face of God and live. So he gets fearful. And the Holy Spirit says to him, the angel doesn't come back to talk to him. He hears a voice saying, do not fear, Gideon. You're going to live and you will not die. Peace to you, young man. I love it, man. All right, God, I believe you. And he calls the place Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. What I love about it, I can sense that God just filled him with peace. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. Because God had a plan, is that right? And then the next, is that very night is what the scriptures say. That very night, God spoke to him again and told him, go and tear down all the grove, tear down the altar of Baal, wipe it out, and do a sacrifice up there. Take the second calf of it, your father, the second calf. And we see another picture of Jesus, where Jesus was the second Adam. And he said, take that second calf and offer it on that altar. And Gideon does that. And they get up in the morning and they say, hey, man, who did this? All the men of the city, who did this? Who did this to our God? So somebody outed him and said, hey, man, you know what, it was Gideon? So he goes down to Gideon's house. All the men of the city go down to Gideon's house and they meet his father there. And his father comes out and he goes, what's up? He says, hey, bring your son out. We want to kill him because he destroyed the altar of Baal. And his dad tells him something very smart. He says, you know what? He goes, hey, let Baal protect his altar. Come on, man. If he's God, let him protect it himself. What do you have to protect your God? Let him protect it. David's dad, with the wisdom, shut that movement down to destroy Gideon. I'm sorry. Did I say David? Have I been saying David? All right. Shut it down. And Gideon's dad that day called him. What? Jerubbaal. That was his new name. God, given by his dad, called his son Jerubbaal. It means a contender. Contender against Baal. Gideon's name means feller. Someone that cuts things down. He cut down that grove. Jerubbaal. How many of you are contenders in here today? How many of you, man, when the things aren't right, you know what, Lord? I see something not right. I'm going to pray about it, God. And if you want me to do anything about it, God, I'm going to do something about it. But God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, Lord, what are you showing me when I see something wrong? You know, hallelujah. Jerubbaal. So God's preparing him to take care of the problem in the land, which was the Midianites and the Amorites that were coming and stealing all of their crops, stealing all of their goods. So where we're going to take you in right now is the last few verses of Judges chapter 6, if you would turn there. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, as we read your word, as we look at the word, God, would you just, Lord, quicken our hearts? Lord, we know nothing like we ought to know. Father, we belong to you. Lord, we ask you that you'd show us, just as we sang this morning, show us, Lord. Show us more of you, Father, as we read your word. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it. And in Jesus' name, I pray, do you agree? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says this. Starting at verse 36, the Word of God says, "And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as you have said." You see that part where he says, "as you have said." Very important part of our lives to take God's word and say, this is what you've said, right? And this is what Gideon's doing. He's taking it before the Lord. Because he remembered that God had told him that he was going to defeat the Midianites, who were a major problem in their land. And he said, okay, God, if you said, if this is what you said, he's going to God, testing. Is he testing God? Actually, all he's doing is asking for a confirmation. That's all he's asking for. Lord, I mean, is it okay to ask God to confirm you what he's told you? Is it good? It's a good thing to ask him. Don't wait too long. Is that right? God wants you to go visit with somebody in Safeway, and you go, you know what, God, I'm going to go home and pray first. And then I'll come back. Oh, they're not here. Hey, the opportunity has to be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Is that right? But there is something about asking him when God has asked you to do something. Is it okay to go ahead and say, Lord, if this is you, I'd like to show me again. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, God will say, yeah, I'll show you again. He's that kind of a God. He likes to confirm his word. He likes to show you that, you know, what he's told you is true. Hallelujah. So he goes. He said, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together, wringed it out, and wringed out the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to God, Lord, he goes, let not your anger be hot against me, but I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God was confirming his word. Yes, Gideon, I have called you to take care of the problem of the Midianites in the land. Yes, yes, I've called you. Starting from chapter 7, it says, then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah. In the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved us. Isn't that crazy? Gideon had taken a horn, and he had blown the trumpet, and he called for the tribes of Israel to come together. And there was a great host. I'm going to tell you, there was actually 32,000 people. That's cool, huh? That's a good outcome. I mean, that's a good gathering, man. 32,000 people. And God tells them, he goes, you know what? There's too many people. Because if they win, they're going to think it's because of them. Is that all right? You know, folks, we have a tendency of thinking that we don't need God. Isn't that right? We have this foolish tendency thinking that, oh, you know what, I can do it without God. And God is saying, man, you know what? Really, folks, I'm going to tell you this. Really, you need God. Amen. You really need Jesus to help you in all the things that you're going through. If we could just say, hey, God, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to spend some time on the floor, on the threshing floor, Lord, I'm going to spend some time. And God, I'm going to hear from you. God, I know you'll speak to me because you have never left me. And you've never forsaken me, Lord. I want to know what you have for me. Hallelujah. We have a tendency to think, hey, I don't need God. I don't need to ask God. I'm going out in a safe way. I'm going to buy me a head of lettuce. I don't need God to do that. Oh, man. But what if there's a person there that while you're there, God wants to speak to you? What if there's a reason why God is sending you to a Safeway for a head of lettuce? Folks, do you realize that our lives are directed by the Lord? They are. We are in His presence. You can't get away from God, is what David says. Where shall I go? Shall I go up to heaven? Shall I go down into hell? Where can I go to get away from you? Can I take wings and fly far? I can't go anywhere because you're always with me. And your life, folks, is directed by the Lord. It really is. It really is. Sometimes we want to have it our way. How many say, yeah? Wasn't that Burger King's thing for a while? Your way right away? Way? No. Yeah. It's okay. You should be quiet. Have it your way. Sometimes, you know what, folks? You got to quit expecting it to be your way. You have to. It's either His way or the highway. Is that right? Come on, man. Seriously, man. I got to have it. I've got to. If they're not doing it, I've got to have it my way. I mean, that's not what God's called you to. God has called you to touch a world. And you can't have it your way. How many's okay with that? Yeah. You know that there are a lot of people that if they're not getting it their way, they're gone. They'll go somewhere else. They can't get it their way there, they'll go somewhere else. Can't get it away, go somewhere else. And they never get themselves planted in a place where God will begin to build their ministry for them. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. You just can't have it your way. You can have it His way. And I will tell you, when you begin to release yourself to His way, it's the best way you've ever imagined. Because it's His design. It's His purpose. It's His plan for your life. You watch. Glory to God. You got to move. Got to keep going. Hallelujah. Too many. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So basically what's going on with Gideon, he's the man of God. And he said, okay, we're going to cut this down a little bit. And then he says, whoever's fearful, go. And he loses 22,000 right away. I'm sure he's thinking, whoa, that's a little bit more than I was expecting. I said, Lord, okay, all right, great. Well, that leaves us with, 10,000. Good enough. We'll do it. Okay, Lord, now we can do it. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Notice that while this is going on, Gideon's not saying much in the scriptures. Watch that. He's not saying much. Because, okay. I don't know how you'd be feeling. Like the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to take, a percentage out of your church to do something. And then I end up with three people. Me, my wife, and my son. I was going to say, wait, okay, God. All right, God, was I hearing you? God, did I hear you? And so Gideon said, all right, there's still too many. Okay, God. So then the Lord said to Gideon, there people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them there for you. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with you. And whomsoever I say to you, this shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shalt thou set by them by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows upon his knees to drink. Now, I don't know where their drinking fountain was, but do you remember how many people there is? 10,000 people. There's 10,000 people, and he took them down to get them water someplace. Whether it was a lake, whether it was somewhere, a stream, but there's 10,000 people, and God gave him a look. This is what I want you to watch for. Watch for the ones that take the water and bring it up to their mouth, and they lap like a dog. Bunch of Scooby-Doos. Somebody to take them, they're going to, and get in, okay, well, there's one over there, there's one over there, there's one over there, there's one over there. And he says, send the rest of them, put them in a place. But the ones that don't drink that way, but actually get down on their knees to drink, you can send all of those away. Gideon ends up with how many? 300 people. 300. To destroy an army that's coming, the Midianites and the Amorites, he ends up with 300. How many like David and Goliath stories? Man, I love David and Goliath stories. This is one of those stories. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand and let all the people go over into space. I just want you to notice on that scripture, this is probably the third time that the Spirit of the Lord had told Gideon, I am going to deliver the Midianites into your hand. Folks, we live by the Word of God. What God says to us is what is done. That's it. That's what God said. We live by the word. And this is probably the third time that the Lord said that to Gideon. I can imagine that Gideon might be getting just a little bit uncomfortable. You just took my army from 32,000, God, to 300. But it's important, the perspective that God had given him concerning peace. Hey, do you remember this? The battle's not yours, but it's the Lord's. Hallelujah. How many of you like fighting your own battles? How many of you like rising up and doing what, you know? I'm going to tell them. I'm going to walk over there and get it straightened out. How many of you like that? How many of you are like that? Sometimes there's some of us that are like that. So, you know what? I'm just going to speak my mouth. I'm going to tell them like it is. God would say, peace. Hey, hold on. Take it easy. I've got a job for you to do. Isn't that cool? How many of you like, am I talking to anybody? You're my brother? I'm going to tell you, I'm talking to myself. Well, let me just get over there. Now, you know, shoot, I'm the pastor. Yeah. God's saying, hold on, man. Hold on. Oh, yeah, come on, man. Glory to God. It's the word of the Lord. He has spoken it to him. This right now, I've counted, this is the fourth time that God has told, I will deliver the Midianites into your hand. So the people took victuals in their hand and the trumpets, telling each other, good luck, man. Here's my trumpet. Here you go. Here goes a pot. How many? 300 of you? Good luck. Praise God. Man, hallelujah. Can I have your house? Can I have your digs? Oh, praise God, no. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets and sent all the rest, every man to his tent, and there retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was in the valley beneath them. And it came to pass that the same night, these things, I mean, from the time that the angel appeared to Gideon, it was very quick. God was setting this thing up. And the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. That's number five. But if thou fear to go down, it's funny because, you know, you don't hear anything Gideon saying, okay, God, but I'm scared. Doesn't say anything about that. But God is saying to him, he said, but if you fear to go down, go with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward you shall your hands be strengthened to go down into the host. So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers. Like grasshoppers for multitude. And it says, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Just the camels were innumerable. Just the camels. But here's this host laying out there, and Gideon's walking up to him, and he's looking. Folks, I'm going to tell you, he's got 300 men to fight these guys with. They've got more camels than he has. And every one of those camels is going to have a rider. Can I tell you how intimidating this view can be in Gideon's sight? When he looks at all these guys, he says, you know what? I'm going to just quit looking. I'm not going to go in there because God sent me down here to hear something. Oh, listen, it's important that you walk by faith and not by sight. It's important. The Word of God tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you look around long enough, something's going to talk to you and convince you that you maybe God didn't say that to you. So, you know, folks, I want to tell you something. When God says something to you, how much is a pen? Write it down. Take a note and write it down so that you've got it. Because there's going to be a lot of things out there that look like that thing isn't going to come to pass. But you hold on to what God, you just pull it out and say, man, there's a million plus guys walking, right? There's a million plus camels. I can't count. There's so many. I'm going to listen to what God has said right here. My eyes are focused on His word, what He told me. Such a difference. Such a difference. Because look what happens to Gideon when he gets down there. Oh. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else except the sword of Gideon. Isn't that nice? This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand God has delivered Midian and all the host. This is number 6. But he's hearing it out of the mouth of his enemy. Hey, man, this is your dream. It's telling us something. You know, how perfect is God's timing? How perfect is his timing? Folks, it's always perfect. It's always perfect. I was given a clock from the mine when I retired. It's a big clock and it chimes, you know, like, you know, every hour and all the hours and every quarter hour. Is that right? It's always chiming. But they asked me, it's got a little plate on there. And they said, what do you want us to put on there? Freeport Mac Moran, no way. Take that. Don't. You know what you want? I want you to put on there. God's timing is perfect. They go, hey, that's cool. It's true. Because it's true. His timing is always perfect. You might think it's just a I just showed up. But God's timing is always perfect. If you are obedient and you listen and obey the voice of the Lord, you're going to find His timing is perfect for you every time. Every time. He will bless you. He will move you. He'll take you. Hallelujah. Because that's the God we serve. That's who He is. He knows you. Hallelujah. And He hears these people. He hears them. And what it does, his spirit is flooded with peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. How many of you know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? How many know that Gideon is experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding? Because his understanding could have said, hey, there's a million men and there's a lot of guys out there. But I sense something here. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered you into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies. How many is in a company now? 100 now. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle watch, when it was dark, absolutely dark, and they had but newly set the watch, they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And when the three companies blew trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shira and Zereth, to the border of Abel Meholah and Tabith. Basically, what they wanted to do, it was dark, and generally, when you heard a trumpet, the army was behind them. They had 300 trumpets. So these guys, in their imagination, can you imagine that? They didn't realize that there was just these trumpeters that were out there. And see, that's the way the Lord works. Blow the trumpet. And they got so confused. It was dark. They felt that probably guys were coming in around them. So they grabbed their swords and they start swinging them. And the Bible says that they killed, just about wiped themselves out. Cool battle. But I keep wondering. I said, Lord, one of the things I'm asking, I said, Lord, where it says here, it says, verse 10, where God tells Gideon, he says, "But if you fear to go down with Purah thy servant, if you fear to go down, go with Purah thy servant to go down." Apparently, God knew that Gideon was not real cool with what was about to happen. Did you know that? God knew his heart. God knew that he was a little bit fearful, because he said, "If you fear, go down with him." And did he go down with them? He sure did. Purah, let's go, man. Let's go find out. Let's go down there. So he was. And see, I want to take you all the way to verse 1 in chapter 7. And it says, "Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well Herod." Herod. Herod. Everybody say Herod. Herod. Pitch beside the hell, Herod. That's a funny word. It's a Jewish word. The word, the well, Herod, the well is in. There's a word in. If you look up Herod in a concordance or something, it's going to take you to a word that says in Charod. That's that Charod. Pastor Cesar, you could probably say it better than I could. But Harod. Harod. Yeah, with a little bit of a gargle in there. Harod. The E-Y-N on the beginning of that means fountain of or well of. Like a well or a fountain of Harod. Harod. Harod means to shudder with terror. To fear. To hasten with anxiety. To make afraid or tremble. This is the well that Gideon's men parked next to. Do you get it? Do you see it? There's something about where he parked himself, where he placed himself. He's sitting at a well that's called a well of terror. And I'm sure that Joshua had that, "Oh my God, Lord, man, this has got to be you, man. Did you see the size of that crowd out there, man?" This is the name of the well. But it also says, check this out. It says in that first verse, that they parked by the hill of the Midianites were parked by the hill of Mora. That word Mora means teaching. What God was doing was teaching Jerubbaal or Gideon the fact that he goes, "I want to teach you something, that I will always do what I've told you I'll do. I'm going to teach you that. I need you to know that." How many of you know that he's saying that same thing to you? "I want you to know that everything that I've said to you, it's true, and you need to believe what I've told you." Come, folks, listen. We teach here, this is what we teach here, that we are independently dependent on God. You have to be dependent on God on your own. You can't depend on somebody else that's why you need to be in the Word of God. That's why you need to be looking and seeing what God's Word is saying to you and going to your knees and saying, Lord, what are you telling me? Lord, show me what you want. Show me, because God doesn't want you to be somebody else. He wants you to be who you are. And the only way you're going to know who you are is when you go to him and he begins to reveal those things to you. And then when he reveals them to you, you begin to see his purpose and his plan for your life. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. He wants you independently dependent on him. God will teach you in every instant of your life. He will show you. The Word of God says it in this. If you would you put up James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. This is what the Word of God says. It says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. See that word says knowing this? You know what that means? You need to know this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work. And then I like this part. That you may be what? I want to hear everybody say perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. That you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Is that right? I'm going to tell you something. When Christ comes into your life, you have perfection moving into your house. Is that okay? Because when that happens, Jesus in his deity, in who he is, when he comes into your heart, can I just say this to you? You don't need anything else. That's right. But a lot of times we just need to be instructed. We need to be over at that tree of teaching. So what's going to happen to that tree in that hill of teaching, I should say, that hill, what God's going to do, he's going to bring up these little things going on. Little things are going to happen. And folks, you know what? It's not the devil. It's not the devil. It is God working in your life to bring you, like he says, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Folks, as Christians, we blame everything on, what's his face? The split foot. And you know what? God is saying, and what if, I would put this, what if it's God saying something to you? What if he's trying to make you perfect and entire, lacking nothing? Come on, man. Come on. Oh, the devil's beating me up. God's saying, man, no, it's not. It's me. Hello. Hello. Let me help you. I want you to know something. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to get you to get to a place where you'll find me and you'll hear me and you'll understand what's going on and why it's happening. See, he wants you perfect and entire, lacking nothing. He wants you that way. Is that what he says? He wants you perfect and entire, lacking nothing. How many of you want to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing? And folks, I want to say, just because you leave this earth and get to heaven doesn't mean that it can't happen here. It's happening right now. God is, it's what's, you know what the word for it is? It's called redemption. Being redeemed. Redeemed into what? What are we redeemed into? We are redeemed into the original purpose that God had for man. That's what he had. We are redeemed into looking like Christ. God showed us what a redeemed man looks like. He looks like Jesus. If you want to know what a man looks like that's redeemed, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Look in the Old Testament. Say, God, show me Jesus. Show me. You're going to find out that is the purpose that God is doing. He said, look, I'm trying to make you perfect. Terry, I'm trying to make you perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Jeff, he's trying to get you to that position. He says, man, people say, man, that man, he's been with Jesus. That man's been with Jesus. Greg, that man, Pastor Sessa, that man's been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the fact is that he's washing you and cleansing you as you walk. So count it all joy when those things are happening. That's what I got to do. I've got to do that. You know that? It's fun pastoring a church. It's a lot of fun. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It really is. Because things happen. I mean, listen to me. Things happen. And you go down. And you end up on the floor. And you're there. And God begins to talk to you. And he says, you know what, man? I love you. Get up.
get up.
Okay. But it's fun. There's nothing like God speaking to your heart. There's nothing better than when you hear the voice of the Lord saying something to you, it relieves everything. The Bible says that Gideon called the place Jehovah Shalom, peace. A peace that passes all understanding, flows into your heart, grabs you, captivates you, and then takes you someplace. Takes you to a place that God has designed for you. Hallelujah. You guys all know that I didn't ask for this job. You know that, didn't you? It wasn't that I was praying every night, God, make me a pastor. God, make me a pastor. No, I wasn't doing that. God said, I have called you to pastor. I have anointed you to pastor a church. I don't know how. Don't know how. What do I do? How do I do that? You'll learn, buddy. I'm learning. I'm learning. Ooh, praise God. My heart is to do what He wants, not what I want. My heart is to receive what He wants to give me, not what I want. Hallelujah. That's my heart. My heart is to speak to all of you and whoever will listen and say, hey, man, you know what? God does love you and He does care about you and He knows what's happening and He is building you and strengthening you because He's building and He's cleansing a bride that's going to be ready for the groom, hallelujah, when He comes. Are you ready for Him to come home? Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go back? Are you ready to see the Lord? Are you ready to stand on streets of gold? Hallelujah. Are you ready for it? Get ready. Get ready. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Because God says, hey, look, do you know that there was 10 virgins and 5 didn't get in? Come on, man. Where's your first love? Where's your first love? Where is your first love? Do the things at the first. When you first met Jesus, remember all those things you used to do? Mm. And you'll see. Whew. Glory to God. Listen, sometimes we go, we've been going through things. My wife and I, we go through things. You guys go through things. And sometimes you're just not sure what's going on. Is that right? Just say, God, I'm just not sure what's happening. Why is this happening, Lord? How many of you ever said that? Anybody said that? You ever said that to God? God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? My friend over there at work, he doesn't go through stuff like this. Why is this happening to me, God? You guys ever been there? I'm going to tell you something. He knows everything about what's happening in you, what's happening to you. He knows those feelings. He knows everything. Hallelujah. And I would say this morning, He would be saying, you know what? I want to fill your heart with peace this morning. Everybody say peace. Peace. If you want peace in your heart, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I just want peace. Lord, I see what's going on in our world around us, and it doesn't feel very friendly. How many know that? It just don't feel. And Lord, I just need some peace. Lord, speak to my heart. So Lord, so that I can navigate this place because I need to know what to do, where to go. But I don't know because I'm sensing this anxiety that maybe Jerubbabel felt when he looked at the army. He said, I need something, Lord. And I would say to you, what you need is the Lord to speak into your heart. You need a word. You need the Holy Spirit to say, it's okay. I've got it. I'm taking you. I know what you're doing. We're going to pray for you guys that the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps your hearts and your minds, that will just flow into you. Just raise your hands and surrender to Him. Listen, if there's somebody in the house that's never given their heart to the Lord, this is a perfect opportunity. Because you know what I notice about people that don't know the Lord? They're fearful about a lot of things. There's a lot of fear out there, folks. And Jesus is the only answer. So if there's anybody in the house, I'm going to pray this prayer. If you've never prayed this prayer before, I want to ask you to pray it. And church, would you help me pray it? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you came and you died for me. Lord, I believe that you are God's Son. And you took my sins and you nailed them to the cross. And you died for my sins. You were buried, but in 3 days you resurrected. You paid for my sins. Lord, I believe that this morning. Lord, I believe that this morning. Lord, come into my heart. Make me new. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that this morning, know this, that you have been saved. God washed you. God heard that prayer in your life. But I want you to do, those of you, all of you, and let's just pray. Let's ask God that the peace of God, that it just flow into our midst, into your place. Allow God to touch your heart. Allow him to move in and to show you that peace, hallelujah, that no matter what you go through, just like Jerubbaal, that God is for you, not against you, and he will take care of you. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, come on. Come to the altar. Allow God to touch your heart. Come to the altar. Come forward.
To trust what you say.
That you're good.
That you're good.
And
your love is great. I'm broken inside. May fail, but my God, you strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning for all of your children, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would, as they walk out this, today, Lord, that you would, Father God, just fill them with your presence, Lord. As they look to you, Father God, let joy fill their hearts, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Your joy is our strength, Lord. So bless your people as they go into the city, Father. Open their mouths to reach the lost this week, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, God. Let the anointing of God be upon his people. Allow God's anointing upon your life to rest upon you and walk therein. Allow him room in your life and watch what he does. Rise up, O people of God. Rise up, O people of God. Rise up. For your bridegroom is yet at the door. Rise up. In Jesus' name, go out into the city. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.